I want to welcome everybody to Times Square Church this evening, those that are visiting with us online and those that are part of the home fellowships here in New York City. Our new believers are received. Join with us for 45 minutes on Tuesday night and then go into the new believers fellowship after that. God bless you, and I trust it will be a wonderful blessing in the home fellowships this evening. This is a wonderful, wonderful time we're living in for the Church of Jesus Christ, because we're at a place now where we need the power of God. Men's gimmickry will no longer meet the need of the hour that we're living in, and I thank God for that with all my heart. I am glad that we're rid of the strategies and all the rest of these things that have so permeated the Church of Jesus Christ for probably 2 to 3 decades now. But you and I know that we are living in a very, very dark time. The threats of terror and such like are at our borders again, and it's time to pray. By God's grace, we're going to be going out across the nation on September the 8th and calling the entire nation through 3,000 radio stations back to prayer again. People will be invited to join this prayer meeting on Tuesday night if they don't have a prayer meeting. And I thank God for that. This is the Lord's initiative. It's not ours. We did not initiate this. This was initiated by the radio conglomerate in California that is responsible for doing this. They do believe, as we do, that this is a desperate hour and we need to call this nation back to prayer again. And your prayer and mine ought to be that, oh God, every church on every corner, fill those buildings again with people who would start to pray and begin to understand that when we pray, God answers prayer. No situation is too dark that he can't reach it. No captivity too strong, he can't set the people free. I believe we could experience an awakening that will just gladden your heart and cause you to dance in the street and clap your hands and say, only God could have done this. It's a terrible time in one sense, as it was in the book of Acts in the New Testament, in chapter 4. When Jesus had risen from the dead, the early disciples went out and God began to do the miraculous. And when the miraculous began to happen, the people who were in charge of that society at that time began to be offended by it. And with violence and with threatenings, they threatened the early church to speak no more among the people. And they severely threatened them, the scripture says, that they were not to speak to anybody anymore in the name of Jesus. They were not to speak or teach in his name, according to Acts chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. We've arrived there again in this society where young children even are sent home for mentioning the name of God or the name of Jesus in their schools. College students are ridiculed for having an opinion or a faith. It's a terrible time we're living in. And now the enemies of God, if I may call it as such, are so emboldened that they're doing it now with force and threatening, just as they did in the book of Acts chapter 4. In other words, it's going to hurt you. We're going to suspend you. It's going to cost you. People in the workplace are not allowed to share their faith. You can share anything else you want. You can curse like a sailor, and everybody's okay with that. But the moment you say the name Jesus, oh, suddenly you violated some code somewhere and find yourself hauled in and threatened. I've been there. I know what that's all about. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge that. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And this is my prayer now for this generation, that we have to be brought again as the Church of Jesus Christ into a miraculous living relationship with God. You and I have to get to the place where we are changing, we are being set free, we are experiencing things in our own lives that only God could be doing. And that becomes our testimony, to the point where we say we have to speak what God is doing. We've met him, we've seen him, we've walked with him. He has been doing the miraculous in our midst. And then they went, after they were released from these threatenings, they went to a prayer meeting. And when they began to pray, they began to make a declaration of who God is. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you're God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You're the creator of all things. All things are held in place by the word of your mouth. Nothing that was created without you. You were there in the beginning with God. You were the word of God. You were God, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, you and I are witnessing today the final, I believe it's the final rebellion against the lordship of Jesus Christ. This sudden reviling of the name Jesus, this sudden intolerance of the people of God. Isn't it amazing? In a society, we're tolerant of anything. We're tolerant of everything, except people who say that you should love your neighbor. People who are taught that you should not kill. People are taught that there is a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And then suddenly now we're vilified by society. Now, he said, for a truth against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. In other words, there's nothing these people are doing that God hasn't allowed them to do and determined before they could. Now, Lord, they said, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, this is the key. This has been the pattern of the church of Jesus Christ from the very moment, the very season that Christ rose from the grave, takes us in our powerlessness, but yet we have a heart that wants to walk with him. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And a boldness that can only be born of God is placed within us. I know this. I was afraid of crowds of people. I was, in the early years of my conversion, I was ashamed of the name of Jesus. I wasn't ashamed in church. I could sing the songs, say bless you to all my Christian friends. It was on the street that I had a problem with being a living witness for Christ. I got tired of it. I began to pray. I began to ask God to do something in my life and through my life. And he met me in a sovereign and a powerful way, filled me with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment onward, I was no longer ashamed. I'd preach to a telephone pole if it could get saved after God's Spirit came on me. I remember when I was a cop one time going into a domestic dispute where a husband and wife were kind of throwing the furniture and dishes at each other. I remember sitting them down on their couch. I made them sit down. And I stood there in front of them and I said, now I want to tell you something. You need God in your life. I remember the shock on their faces. Your situation is hopeless. Your marriage is broken. But if God's Holy Spirit comes on you, he will give you the power to change and to be new people. You don't have to live like this anymore. Folks, I wasn't afraid anymore. God's Holy Spirit had come upon me. And he began to do miracles in my own life. He began to change me from the inside out. And I knew the power of God was so real. And I'm not ashamed to say so. That's been the pattern of the church when they prayed. In other words, they said, God, stretch out your hands and heal. It doesn't just mean always just supernatural healings in the physical realm, but it's through me, Lord. Everywhere you went, every time you moved, every time you spoke, somebody was set free from demonic power. Somebody was raised out of a place of death. Somebody's eyes were given sight. Somebody's ears opened to hear wondrous truth. Somebody was given a revelation of this incredible treasure of heaven that was available to those who knew that they had no resources to get out of their difficulty. And so, God, stretch your hands out through me. And where I travel, where I speak, God, when I pray, bring healing, do miracles. And I don't care what the society says. I'm fighting not against people. I'm fighting for people who are fighting against their own salvation. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. In other words, it doesn't mean they were obnoxious. It means that they were unashamed, convinced. They knew the power of God. They understood the declaration of God's word and what freedom it would bring into people's lives. I've lived this. I've walked it. I've known it. I've seen it. And now we've come to this juncture in history where we've come into this place to pray. And you're not interested in a fruitless prayer meeting, and neither am I, and most of all, neither is God. But I know tonight that I am invited to the throne of God. I'm not invited there because I've had the best week of my life. I'm not invited there because I have a resume of doing things for God. I'm invited there by grace. That means the goodness of God has invited us to his throne tonight. I'm not invited there in my strength, but in my weakness. I'm not invited there having a plan, but I know who holds the plan in his hands. I'm not invited there having all the answers, but I know who has the answer. I don't have all the keys, but I know who holds the keys. I can't procure healing in this generation, but I know who has the power to heal. And so I come to his throne. I come without shame. I come without reservation. I walk in as a son of God, and you can do that tonight. You can speak to God tonight. He's not offended with your prayers. He's not looking for fancy language. He's not looking for you to hit just the right intonation of voice or the right emotion of your heart. Just looking for somebody who's sincere. Somebody who believes that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Somebody who believes that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody who believes that I can cry out from the side of the road, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, and he will hear me. Not just touch my life, but touch the lives of those I'm praying for. We need a mighty baptism of God's Holy Spirit in this generation and upon all those who are called by the name of Jesus Christ. We need this infilling of God's Holy Spirit. That's where our strength is going to come from. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Jesus himself said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so tonight I'm coming to ask, and I'm not asking for a fuzzy feeling in the atmosphere. I'm not asking just so that I can get goosebumps in a church meeting somewhere. I'm asking for God to give us his power so that we will make a difference in this generation. You and I will stand without reservation, without cowardice, without timidity, without holding back. We'll stand with the wisdom, the compassion, and the passion of God. We'll stand with the wisdom that cannot be stood against. People will have to take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus. Oh God, for your name's sake, Lord, we ask you to do this. Not for our sakes, God. We haven't done everything right. We haven't represented Christ in this nation the way we ought to have as a corporate body of Jesus Christ. But God, in his mercy, is willing to come to us and touch us one more time and give us the power we need to be that which he's called us to be. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, at this moment. And we're going to join with people just in a circle with four or five people. There's a microphone over there beside my chair. And I'm going to ask if Lisa Cammie will come and lead us in prayer. Let's pray for the baptism of God's Holy Spirit. Just that filling up. I don't care what you call it. The second touch of God. I really don't care. Just pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the power of God. Those that are online, you pray. You prayed. Pray for God's Holy Spirit to come on you and give you strength to get out of your struggle and trial and become a living witness for Christ. Don't hold back. Begin to pray. Lisa, come lead us now, please, if you will.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you are God alone. Lord, we hear you crying out to us, and we hear you asking us to ask, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you always hear us when we cry. You always hear us, Lord. That's what Jesus said. Father, I thank you that you always hear us, that you stoop down and listen, that the poor man could cry out and you deliver us and you take us, Lord, to places that we can never go in our own strength. And Lord, tonight, God, we hear you asking us to ask, and we come to this throne of grace, God, to a Savior that is merciful and sympathetic and empathetic and is more willing to give and more willing to answer our prayer than we can ever start asking. And tonight, Jesus, we're coming to you, Lord, believing, God, for you to do something supernatural in this place tonight, God, all over the internet, and every person within the sound of our voice, and every person, Lord, even those that can't even believe for themselves, Lord, we stand bringing that paralytic as it was, God. We stand and we break through for them, Lord. And when you see our faith, you will heal, you will deliver, you will stretch forth your hand, you will shake us, you will fill us, God, because you are God alone. And so, Lord, we're standing in a gap, Lord, with one hand to you, Lord, and one hand on our brothers and sisters, believing, God, that you want to revive us, believing, God, that you want to shake us, believing, God, that you want to stir us, believing that you want to break chains, believing, God, that there'll be freedom, that there'll be no more shackles, there'll be no more chains, believing that you want to heal, believing that you want to move mountains, believing that everything is impossible, knowing that there's nothing impossible for you because you are God alone. And Lord, we just stand here, Jesus, in our frailty. Lord, there's nothing in us. But every one of us in this place knows what you did for us, knows where you take us from, know how you set us free, know how you started, Lord, our life on the right path. We know it, God, and we believe it, Jesus. And I'm just asking you simply for every person, Lord, that can't even get to you tonight, Jesus, we bring them to you. Prayer does the work, Lord. Lord, we praise and we pray, Lord, and we thank you. And Lord, we're expecting that the prison doors are going to open and the prisoners are going to be set free tonight because you are asking us to ask you and you're inviting us, God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to beg you, Jesus, but we could stand here. And we could say, tonight we will not be denied. Tonight is the night. Tonight, Jesus, you will do exactly what you just want to break forth and do. Lord, this is your heart. These are your people. Lord, Daniel prayed, Lord, not because of his own righteousness. And God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would just keep covenant tonight with your people, that you would give new hearts and new spirits and take waste and desolate places. You even said, I will do this, I will do that, and I will cause Israel to inquire this of me. And we're asking, Lord, to breathe, even though I don't have breath, God, that you would breathe, God, on every dry bone. Lord, where the people are saying, I'm cut off and I'm hopeless, that's right where you want to meet them tonight, Jesus. Jesus, that you would breathe and you would breathe and you would shake and you would send the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you are pouring out your Spirit right now, that you are breathing, that you would raise up an exceeding great army. The weakest person, God, I know you want to meet them tonight. Look at our faith, God, for those that don't have faith, Lord, and bring them in, Jesus, and do what you already had planned to do, and hear the threats, and give us boldness, and stretch forth your hand, and do what only you could do, because you are God alone. In Jesus' name.
This time, I'd like to ask a lady who's part of our prayer team, her name is Catherine Williams, to come and lead us in prayer for the pastors of this nation. Now, many, many pastors are discouraged. It's a very difficult time to be pastoring the Church of Jesus Christ when there has been such captivity and such opposition, and discouragement abounds in the ministry. The last statistic I heard that in North America alone, 1,500 pastors a month are leaving the ministry. We need to pray that God encourage these men and women of God, give them courage, give them strength, and bless them with strength so that they in turn may lead the congregations that they pastor in the ways of everything that Christ died to give them. We're supposed to be a victorious people. We should be a people so set upon a hill that we cannot be ignored. I believe the early church came out of an upper room and touched the whole known world. We live today in societies where we have churches on most every corner. We can't touch our neighborhoods. If we have the courage, we can admit something is dreadfully wrong with what we're doing and how we are presenting Christ. But it really starts in the pulpit. If there's no passion in the pulpit, there very rarely will be much passion in the pew. But we have to believe God for the pastors. You've got to believe, I've got to believe, that the leaders, the spiritual leaders of this nation will become one in Christ and one with one another again and begin to pray like they've never prayed before and believe that we have the ability in Christ to effect change in our society today, change that will be good and change will bring about godliness. So we won't form into groups, but if you could raise your hands and your heart to the Lord and please raise your voice, and Catherine's going to lead us in prayer.
Most holy God, we come before you tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for our pastors, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that you alone are God, and there's none beside thee, oh God. And since the day we've heard, we've not ceased to pray for them, oh God, and to desire that they may be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. They may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might according to your glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us all to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And tonight we lift up our pastors to you, God, and we ask, oh God, for those that are going through, oh God, and want to quit and want to give up, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, for your mercy upon them. I pray for your grace tonight, oh God, that they'll look to you, they'll lift their eyes into the hills from which come their help, and know that their help comes from God. He that watches Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Bible says you're the shade upon their right hand. Encourage them in the Lord, oh God. Let the God will comfort them and encourage them and give them a mind to run this race, oh God. Sit before him, oh God. Looking to you, God, the author and the finisher of our faith, oh God. Father, we realize that without you, we can do nothing, oh God. Neither can they. They're mere men like we are, oh God. Just been given a different assignment, oh God. So we're to wax, oh God, for your mercy and your grace, oh God, to be on the pastors. Don't let them give up. Don't let them quit, oh God. Help them to stay in, oh God. The race is not given to the strong, nor to the swift, but to him that endureth till the end, oh God. We thank you tonight, oh God. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands, oh God, and that you're able to keep them from falling, oh God. Keep them, oh God, when they get weary and they go weary, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you will not allow them to go weary and get faint-hearted. But the Bible says, and if they do, you give power to the faint, and to him that have no might, you'll increase strength. Increase the strength of the pastors, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that as they're alone in their quiet time with you, and as they're crying out to you, oh God, I pray that you hear their cry, oh God. Oh, Father, that the anointing of God would be upon them, oh God, that they'll preach the word in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, oh God. I thank you, oh God. I thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives, oh God, as they continue to bear one another up, oh God. We bear up our pastors. We're armor bearers for them, oh God, and we're going to stand behind them, and we're going to cry out for them, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, that you'll cause them to mount up with wings like eagles, oh God, to run and not be weary, oh God, and to walk and not faint. Oh God, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we, our pastors, they will remember the name of the Lord our God and call upon him, and you're able to keep them, oh God, and strengthen them in the inner man, oh God. Thank you, Lord. You said they're to study, to show themselves approved unto God, workmen, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, line upon line, precept on precept, here little and there little. Teach them your way, oh God, and let them walk in your truth. Unite their hearts to fear your name. And we are to always pray for our pastors, oh God, and lift them up, oh God, and you strengthen them by your power, oh God. We thank you for each one of them, oh God. I pray for pastors all over the world, in every country, in every nation, oh God. I pray for them, oh God, that they'll hold steady to you, oh God, and they'll keep their mind focused and stayed on you. And the Bible says you will keep them in perfect peace, whose
whose mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee. Thank you so much, God, for what you're going to do in the lives of our pastors all over the world, oh God. Continue to keep them, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I want to ask you to remain standing. We're going to pray for so many tonight that have written in that need an absolute miracle tonight. Kristen from Portland, Oregon, please pray for my sister to be set free from fear and doubt. So many are fearful in this hour, as Pastor talked about earlier, and for her to turn back to the Lord so that she can trust him again. Here's Rachel from New York, New York. I'm jobless and alone. Please pray for my work, for new friends, and for my relationship with my ex-husband who abandoned me. Here's an anonymous prayer request from San Diego, California, praying for my friend's brother who is diabetic, backslidden, very scared, depressed, and suicidal, praying for someone to come and minister to him. Here's someone from New York. Please pray for James that Jesus Christ would get a hold of his heart before he destroys his life and his children's lives anymore. Someone crying out for mercy. Here's Denaria from Toronto, Canada, asking for prayer for Jessica, 17, who needs salvation. Her mom is mentally ill and keeps her as a prisoner in her room, except for school intervention. Please, Jesus. Here's Dee from New York, New York. Please continue to pray for baby Elijah. He needs surgery urgently to stop seizures. He's only 4 months old. We're going to pray for Elijah, baby Elijah, tonight for healing touch in the name of Jesus. We're praying for us. Here's someone asking for an anonymous prayer request. Please pray for my daughter, A. There's a huge division between us. Please pray that God will speak to her heart and dissolve the anger that's there. So many in this generation are angry, folks. But we're praying for God to restore relationships, bring healing in homes. Hallelujah. Here's Louisa from Greensboro, North Carolina. Please pray for the Lord to fix my car. Hallelujah. Just got a new job in North Carolina. Need a car to get back to work. Please pray for a mechanic that will work with me. Hallelujah. We believe God is concerned about that prayer request as well tonight. God will get her car fixed. Amen. Here's Tamara from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Lord, please guide me. Help me to prioritize my responsibilities. I am overwhelmed with financial debt, desperately seeking new employment. We just sang, I'm desperate for you. Here's someone that's desperate for God tonight. Dorothy from Patchogue, New York, praying for healing of cancer for both my sister Flo and my daughter Dorothy. They need a miracle tonight. To God be the glory. Here's an anonymous prayer request from Boca Raton, Florida. I ask for prayer for my brother Daniel's life. He's bound to drugs, so she's praying for her brother Daniel to be set free. Here's someone from Finland. Please, I need help from God. I am bound by alcohol, drugs, and other spirits. I have gone astray in my spiritual life. I want back. Hallelujah. God hears your cry tonight, and he's going to touch you in the name of Jesus. All the way in Finland tonight, we're believing for freedom. Freedom reigns in this place, folks. What's that place? That place of surrender. When we give everything to the Lord, God comes by the power of his Spirit as we cry out to him, and he performs miracles that only he can perform tonight. I'm going to ask you to break up into small groups tonight. Would you break up into small groups of twos and threes? And we're going to lift our voice tonight in the name of Jesus. We believe that as we pray for others, God's going to meet our needs as well. Hallelujah, because he loves us. He loves you tonight. The Bible says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be open to you. For everyone that asks receives. To him who knocks, the door shall be open. Hallelujah. And to him who seeks, they shall find. I'm going to ask Amy, one of our staff members tonight, Amy Matthews, would you come and lead us in prayer? Lift your voice. Every voice counts tonight. Every voice counts tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name. That name to which every knee must bow, every tongue must confess. Hallelujah. Every devil has to give way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every addiction has to give way in the name of Jesus. The anointing still breaks every yoke, still sets every captive free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that as we sang tonight, Lord God, that you are an unchangeable God, Lord God, that you are an unstoppable God, Lord God, that you are an unshakable God, Father God. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that because you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, Lord God, that you are the same miraculous working God of yesterday, today, Lord God. God, we're asking, Lord God, that you would come, Lord God, and that you would save, Lord God, the unsaved, Lord God. God, that you would save, Lord God, those in our families, Lord God, who don't know you, my God. God, we're asking for every person that wrote in, Lord God, believing you, Lord God, believing you, my God. They don't believe the circumstance. They don't believe the environment. They don't believe the situation, but they believe in you, Lord God. You said in your word, believing we shall see. God, we're asking, Lord God, for our unsaved loved ones, Lord God. God, we're asking, Lord God, that you would draw them, Lord God. You would draw them into your presence, my God. That you would draw them, Lord God, to know that you are a living God, my God. God, we're asking, Lord God, for those who are addicted, my God, that you would set them free, my God. That we're asking that wherever they are, Lord God, in their living rooms, in their homes, in the highways, in the byways, in the alleys, Lord God, you said in your word that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, we're asking that the Spirit of God would visit them, Lord God, in their place of desperation, in their place of depression, in their place of oppression. God, we're asking that the Spirit of the living God would come and deliver and restore and reconcile and heal, because you are God and you are faithful. God, I'm asking for this car. I'm asking that you would come and that you would repair all of the things that are wrong with it. I'm asking that you would show this child that you are faithful in the small things, that you are faithful in the big things, because you are concerned about your children. You are concerned about every child, every request. God, I thank you. I thank you that you would come. I thank you that you would hear us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the one who is crying out because they don't know where their help is going to come from. I thank you that your word says that when we look to the hills, that our help comes from you, maker of heaven and of earth and of all things in between. God, I thank you that our help is in you. I thank you that in moments of weakness, God, that you perfect your strength in us, Lord God. God, we're asking that you would come, Lord God, that you would come and heal, that you would come and heal the brokenhearted, my God. I'm asking that you would come and heal the lonely. God, we're asking, Lord God, that you would come and that you would cause the one that is so lonely that they can't even get out of bed, that you would give them, Lord God, the strength to get up from bed, to take a shower, to walk out of their house, to see the light of day, to know, my God, that you are a deliverer, that you are a healer, that you are the one who would set free. God, we're asking for every alcoholic, every drug addict, for everyone that is caught in a lifestyle that does not glorify you. God, we're asking that you would have mercy on them, that you would deliver them, that you would set them free for your glory and for your honor. God, we will give you the praise and the honor for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am reminded, as I have an opportunity to laugh with the Lord and to rejoice with Him and to sing with Him and to dance and to shout, we have such a privilege. But I am reminded of days when I didn't know the privilege of rejoicing in the Lord. When we read the prayer requests that come in, sometimes we hear about people who are alone, people who are depressed, despairing, people who are despondent. And I want to remind you that you are not alone, that you don't have to stay in a place where there is no hope. I want to remind you tonight that even though when we pray for you and believe for you, we can't see you, somewhere, at least I know for me, in my mind's eye, I can see you. I remember from the very first time that I began to do what I have the privilege of doing now, preaching this gospel, I began by looking in my mind's eye at the back of this auditorium. And the reason that I did was because in my mind's eye, I could see me before I knew what it was to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, before I knew what it was to laugh in his presence and to sing and dance and lift up my hands as we sing songs like we just sung, before I knew what it was to join in those kinds of songs. I used to come into this church just so I could go into the bathroom and go into the stalls and wash myself because I lived on the streets of this city. I didn't understand why the people who sang were singing. In my mind, there was nothing to sing about. In my mind, there was only sadness. There was only pain. There was only hopelessness. I grew up in a situation of dysfunction. I grew up in a situation of abuse and understood what it is to be raised by violent and addicted parents. I knew what it was to see life from a perspective that not a lot of people had seen it. And it gave me a certain turn of mind that suggested that there was no real good in the earth, that there was no real reason to go to a job and to get married and to raise a family. I couldn't see the benefit of it. All I knew and all I saw was dysfunction and pain. And after a certain amount of time and a certain amount of grief and a certain amount of bereavement, a certain amount of tears and some bad decisions, I found myself on the streets of this city without any hope, without any sense that anything mattered, without any sense that there was anybody for me or that I could be for anyone else. I had absolutely no personal connections, had no trust for anyone, didn't believe that anyone could trust me. I worked day jobs, slept in the park or in the train at night, and I had absolutely no direction. I simply went in circles. And no one could have told me that I would ever have found a way out of that circle. No one could have told me that there was ever any hope. And I was fortunate enough to have walked by this church on more than one occasion. And I would look at the welcome sign in the front, but I never came in because my thought was I had seen churches before and I had heard people talk about believing in God before, and I had heard about all of those things, but I also saw corruption. But it wasn't just in the church. I saw corruption all around me. I saw corruption within me, and I never assumed that there was any hope, that there was any way out, that there was anything that anybody could possibly do. I had heard about a lot of religious rules and how you could pick yourself up by your bootstraps and you could become a better person if you just tried hard enough, if you just kind of clenched your fist a little bit and grit your teeth and made things happen. But I knew better than that. I had tried that as well. But I made a bargain with God at one point. And I said to God, you're telling me that there is hope, that there is a way, that there is actually truth in the earth. So here's what I'm going to say to you. If you show me one person who actually believes in God. Now, I knew I had met many people that had believed in God, but I was so hard of heart and so rebellious that they could not get through. But at a certain stage in my life, I was just tired of running, tired of hiding, tired of deceiving myself, tired of making excuses, tired of being cold, tired of being hungry, tired of being lonely, tired of being despondent, tired of using despair as an excuse. And I said, Lord, show me somebody, because at that stage, I had no other hope. I started trying to read the Bible, and all this I was trying to do on my own to no avail. Show me somebody who believes in God. And I finally chose to come into this house. There was a guy outside, I remember, and he was persistent. He would not let me go. He kept asking me, begging me to come into the house of the Lord, come into the house of the Lord. So I just came to the house of the Lord just to shut him up for half a minute, just to placate him. And I sat there, and it was between the morning service and the evening service. So I actually sat in the congregation with maybe 50 people in the entire congregation between the two services, and waited for the service to start. And as the people began to come in, I must have sat there for a couple of hours. It was something that God was doing just to get me started. I was talking to people and listening to people and so on. And eventually the service started. And a man came out to speak, a man, David Wilkerson. I didn't know him. I didn't know about his book source, his story. I didn't know about anything that God had done in him or through him. But there was something about him I could sense in my spirit, that this man actually believed in God. And I realized that God had taken me up on my dare, had taken me up on my bargain, had said to me, this is the guy that you were looking for, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I couldn't deny it. I couldn't doubt it. It was real. You understand? I wasn't looking for a man to be God. I was simply looking for a man who believed in God. And God began to ask me to trust him. And then that is to trust this man for a moment or two, and then to trust God's people. And as a result, I was exposed to the truth about God, and it opened me up to truly trusting God for who he is. And at that stage, when I began to say, Lord, you must be who you are, not just because his word burned in my heart, but I saw him doing something wonderful through normal people. I saw him doing something wonderful through ordinary people. I saw him doing something wonderful through imperfect people. I saw such a wonderful family. I saw such people. And remember, I said before the pastor even came out, I had sat in the pews for about 2 hours. And I saw people from all walks of life. I saw people who had agreements and who had disagreements. I saw people who were able to say amen about one thing and who had a little bit of a struggle about another thing. But I saw the fact that they trusted each other, that they were one with each other. They were imperfect, and yet they were perfect. There were some who were more mature than others, and yet there was a maturity about them. They were from different races and creeds and colors, and yet they were one family. They spoke in different languages, and yet they were one nation. I could sense that they were drawn together by one reality. I could sense that they had one Father, that they had one God, that they had one goal. I had only known up until that point dissension and division. I'd only known up until that point betrayal and denial. I had only known up until that point abuse and neglect. And now all of a sudden, I, even though I had just walked through the door, and even though I had been on the street, and even though I didn't have on a fancy suit and I didn't smell so good, I was still being received, still being loved, still being brought into a family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I was made to understand that I was not alone, that despondency could not have me, that despair could not have me, that depression could not have me, that disappointment could not have me, that hopelessness could not have me, that I would not be engulfed in shadow and swallowed by darkness, but that there was a light, and at first it just peered in as though through a crack, but all of a sudden there was the glow of the noonday sun, and I recognized something, that there was a God who ought to be worshiped and who ought to be praised. And when that gospel message was preached, you know, I ran to God. I ran to Christ. I bowed on my face before the great King. And I said, I want to be a part of this family. And I want to serve their God. I want to bless him forever. And ever since then, y'all know me. I have been smiling ever since. There's been a joy. There's been a peace. There's been a glorious presence. My life has been given to this family and to this God. And I want to tell you, I can't see you. I'm looking into a camera, but I can see you. Because it's just like when I first started to preach and I could see me. First time I started preaching here at this church and so on, I could still see me walking down that back part of the church, moving toward the restrooms. I could see me, and that's who I would preach to. That's who I would preach to. That's who I'd preach to, because I knew what he needed to hear. I knew he needed to see something. And from that day until this day, my prayer has always been, God, if there's anybody who simply needs to know that there are people who believe in God, that there is a family that would receive them, that there are ones who truly believe that God is just who he says he is. God, let us be that people. And I pray, God, let me be that person as well. I want to be able to help somebody. So if you're at home, or if you don't have a home, and somehow you're on your phone, or you're listening from somebody else's, and we get people that text us in, and we know their story because they'll tell us, I don't have a place to live, or I don't have a place to go. And some people, they have a home, but they feel like they're homeless in their home. I want to tell you, the circle ends at some point. That cycle ends at some point. Hallelujah. Light begins to shine in at some point. Tonight, you just have to open that door just a little crack. That's what I did. I got tired of being tired. Tired of running. Tired of crying. Tired of not having any social contact with anybody. Tired of not trusting anyone. And one day I just opened the door just a little crack and said, God, if you're real, if you are there, if you care, if this life that I've heard about is actually possible, show me somebody who's pursuing it. They don't have to be perfect, I said. They don't have to be God. If you show me them, I'll trust that you're God, and I'll trust that you are their God, and I will allow you to be my God, as though I was doing God some great favor. I said, God, I want to serve you for real. So if you are listening right now, if you can see us or you're just able to hear us, please, we know that you're there. We know you. Open the door just a crack, just a crack. Let the light in. The circle will end now, will end tonight. God will come in and he will do something awesome. Now, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God for you, but we need you to open the door just a little crack. If you can't pray right now, just say amen a couple times. That'll be all right. Just join in. Don't let this moment pass you by. You might think you're alone, but you're not. I know. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord, brothers and sisters. And we're going to pray together. I want you to face two or three people, because the key is that we are not alone. Even if you're in this place right now and you feel like you're alone, you're not alone. Just face two or three people. We're going to gather in a couple of circles, and we're just going to pray. We need to remind ourselves as well as we pray for other people, I am not alone. Despair will not have me. Despondency will not have me. I will not give up. I will not let go. And I am going to pray for men and women that they do not turn to suicide. They do not turn to drugs. They do not turn to various forms of addiction. Even if they have turned there, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you bring them back. Lord, those who are on the brink of suicide, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to bring them back. Those who have given themselves over to various forms of painkillers, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bring them back. Those who have turned away from social relationships because they are afraid of being hurt, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to bring them back. Those who have built their lives around the lies of the enemy, those who have told themselves that there is no hope for them, that there is no way out, we ask you to bring them home in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we're asking you that you send them an example, that you send them someone who actually believes in God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break the cycle of despondency right now. We break the cycle of despair right now. God, those who have known pain, those who have known hurt, those who have known neglect, those who have felt as though their lives don't matter, those who have gone from one place to another, never feeling as though they actually belong anywhere, those who are still trying to figure out whether or not they fit at all in anybody's life, those who are wondering whether or not anybody will ever love them. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for them right now. Those who feel like giving up, in the name of Jesus, we break the bond of the enemy. We break the lie of Satan. And we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you give supernatural hope. Lord, there is a crack in the door. Let your light flow in. One glorious ray of light will cause the darkness to flee. And one word of truth will put 1,000 lies to flight. God, we're asking you to go into that room, into that lonely room, and speak hope. We're asking you to go through the highways and the byways and find those who are sleeping in the parks and those who are sleeping in the trains and those who are in the shelters. God, we ask you to speak a word of hope that defies all of their experience, that defies everything that they're seeing around them, that defies every lie that they've been told by the devil. We ask you to speak a word of hope. God, we ask you to bring supernatural gladness to those who are sad, to those who are despondent, to those who are despairing. We ask you to bring healing into the lives of those who are clinically depressed. We're asking you to speak things to men and women that defy all of the things that have been spoken over them in their past. Speak words of acceptance. Speak words of love. Speak words of tenderness and kindness. Let your hand be a tender hand for all of those who have known nothing but clenched fists. Let your word be a sweet word in season for those who have known nothing but verbal abuse. Cause your light to shine in a dark society that would ordinarily bring fear. Send a word of truth into a society that would ordinarily bring confusion. Let young men and women know that they are not an accident. That that they are created in the image and the likeness of God, that they belong to God. Let them know that they matter to God. Let them know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Let them know that Jesus died for them. Let them know that God so loved them. That man and that woman who feels as though nobody sees them, no matter how many thousands they walk by, let them know that God knows and God has counted the very hairs upon their head. Let them know that God knows them. And send a witness, oh Jesus, send somebody to love them. Somebody to speak to them. Somebody to show mercy. Somebody to show kindness. Somebody to show tenderness. Somebody to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Break the bonds of the devil in Jesus' name. Cause hope. Cause acceptance, cause love to flow through this technology so that men and women in their various places, in their various homes, all around the world, are those who are around about this city or about this society who have no one to turn to, that they might know somehow, supernaturally, that God loves them. God, do a miracle in this generation and utilize this technology so that men and women might feel a tender touch through it. That somehow it will not be impersonal, but that it will be a tender embrace from the Almighty God and from the family of Christ. Help them tonight, O Jesus, so that your name might be ultimately glorified. Give them a life so that they may lay it down to you. Raise up their life so that they may lay it down for you and that they may spend it on serving men and women in this generation. Give them hope and make them know that they can help. Make them know that they can make a difference. Make them know that their life matters. Give them hope tonight, oh God. Give them life in Jesus. And then give them a calling, give them a commission, give them a job, oh God. Cause them to make a difference in this society, to touch lives in this generation, to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked. Send them out as ministers of this gospel. And we will believe you for this, oh Jesus. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name, lift up your voice and give thanks to God. Hallelujah! 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 We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, God. We thank you, God. You're saving men. You're saving women. You're making a difference. You're giving hope. You're giving life. You're giving strength. You're taking people from the brink of death, and you're bringing them home. You're bringing them home. You're bringing them home tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's so important to understand tonight that as pastors, when we pray for you, we're not aloof from your struggle. We understand where many are coming from. We understand fear, depression, and trial and difficulty, but we also understand victory because God has given us the victory in Christ. We're quite a team on this platform. I was an angry cop. Pastor William was homeless in the streets of New York. Pastor Patrick used to throw his parents' furniture around the house, and here we are. And I haven't even begun to talk about the guys in the second row. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom. There's new life. There's hope. There's victory. We sing about it. We believe it. It's not just a song. It's not just a tradition of something we do here in New York City. We have walked into this freedom. We have experienced this freedom. We live in this freedom. That's why we give God glory. That's why we sing and shout in the house of God. I want to encourage everybody that's online to join with us tonight and stand up and start singing about freedom. You worship God where you are. You begin to worship Him now. He will set you free. But you worship Him now. You sing Him now. You make the declaration now. You get up and you say, no more bondage, no more shackles. I'm free. I'm done with living this old lifestyle. Jesus said I can have life, and I'm going to have it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I couldn't keep it to myself. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty God. Well, from New York City, right in the heart of Times Square, we've got 1,800 people here tonight who have fasted and prayed and believed with you, those that have joined us online, for victory in your life, a song in your life, a testimony in your heart, and we believe for the freedom. Tell your friends about this meeting, and let's get together, and let's make this a prayer meeting like none as the world has ever seen before. Glory to God. So if we can spin the cameras around. From New York City to everybody online, we want to say we love you. Thank you. God bless you. See you next week.